You are listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
Hour three of Miller and Moulton on this NFL Draft Thursday. Thanks so much for being with us. MillerandMoulton.com, Miller_Moulton on X. Roy Cummings, who covers the Bucs, will join us in 35 minutes. We'll get his thoughts on what they're going to do, should do, over the next 3 days in the draft. And that's why we're talking with Chris Perkins once again, who is a tremendous columnist for the Sun Sentinel, writing about mostly the Dolphins. You can follow Chris on X at Chris Perk, P-E-R-K. Chris, David, and Mark, good morning. Thanks for doing this. How are you?
Fellas, I got so much information running through my head right now. It's just like information overload, man. The names and the trade possibilities and all kinds of scenarios, man. It's a beautiful thing, but I'm very confused right now.
Well, I mean, the Dolphins are in an interesting spot with this draft at 21. They need offensive linemen. They need an edge player. It kind of depends on how this draft falls to what Miami's going to do, right, Chris?
That's exactly right. So let's run through some of the scenarios here, because I would like to see them get an edge rusher in the first round, because, you know, both Bradley Chubb and Jalen Phillips are recovering from injuries. They probably won't be 100% until midseason, if they reach 100% at all. Chubb with the knee injury, the ACL, Jalen Phillips with the Achilles. At offensive tackle, you need a successor to Teron Armstead, your Pro Bowl left tackle. He's aging. He's breaking down. He's probably got about 10 starts in him, let's be honest. So you need somebody who can play this year and a successor. You don't have that guy on the roster. You don't have that edge rusher on the roster. You assigned Shaq Barrett, but he's aging. You lost Andrew Van Ginkle in free agency. So I like them getting edge rusher, offensive tackle in the first two rounds, but they also need a defensive tackle to replace Christian Wilkins, and they also need interior line help at either center or guard, depending on how you want to configure things. So those are the four positions that I would like to see them attack or plan for in the first two rounds, and I would like to see them go edge rusher, offensive tackle in the first two rounds.
Chris Perkins, Sun Sentinel, covering, writing, talking about the Dolphins. Follow him on X at Chris Perk, P-E-R-K. How important is it to Miami to acquire a third or fourth round pick in their dealings today or tomorrow? Or are they okay with drafting in the first and second round and then not picking again until the fifth?
Well, I favor them trading down. I have a scenario in my last mock draft where the Dolphins trade from 21 to 31 with San Francisco, and the Dolphins pick up a second-round pick. And so, you know, let's go over some names, first of all. So I have them taking Le'Atu Latu. I butcher this kid's name. The edge rusher from UCLA. I should know it. I talked to him at the Senior Bowl. But I have them taking Le'Atu Latu, the edge rusher from UCLA, in the first round. If he's gone, they could take Jared Burst, the edge rusher from Florida State. They could also go with Darius Robinson, the edge rusher, inside defensive lineman from Missouri. Chop Robinson, the edge rusher from Penn State. If you want to go offensive tackle in the first round, Amarius Mims from Georgia will probably be there at 21. What about Graham Barton? From Duke, he could play inside, center, or guard, or tackle. He played left tackle at Duke, but some people think that he's definitely an interior offensive lineman in the NFL, and that center is his best position. So you could take him. My trade down scenario is that the Dolphins, like I said, they trade down to number 31, and they pick up a second-round pick, and then they draft Jordan Morgan, the offensive tackle from Arizona. And with him, he's primarily a left tackle, but you could put him inside at guard. and he could play there as a rookie. That's what they did with Laramie Tunsil, you remember. And then when Teron leaves, you put him at left tackle. So those are some names and some scenarios. I don't have the Dolphins trading up in any realistic scenario.
Well, they don't really have the capital, Chris, so I think we're with you on that.
Right.
But if in your scenario, if they go to 31, and if somehow, you know, there's been a lot of talk of Detroit trading with Vegas so that Vegas comes up and gets Penix. If they don't make that move, and Miami was at 31, I could see them trading with Vegas again and having three second-round picks because, again, without a third or a fourth, you've named four areas of need for the Miami Dolphins, and they've only got two picks.
No, you're exactly right. And so here's one of the things with the Dolphins. You know, to me, the first and second-round picks need to contribute immediately. Like, you really and so that would be the advantage of if you go tackle, you can kick him inside, and he gets some snaps at guard, right? So I don't think you can take a developmental guy, and quarterback to me is just off the table. And so you're not going to take somebody, you know, a running back or, you know, a tight end or anything. Well, if Brock Bowers is there, but anybody else. So these guys have to contribute immediately, and because you do have so many holes, and because at 21, there's nobody that you're in love with, right, at number 21. It's, you know, it's pretty much throw some names in a hat. There's three or four possibilities. You're not picking in the top five here. So I would love to see him trade back again. I would, because I, you know, second and third round picks, those are still immediate contributors, rotational guys. I think in the Dolphins situation, there's nobody you're in love with at 21. So the more quality picks you can get, meaning first, second, third round, the better off you are.
It's a dangerous trade down, though, isn't it? 21 to 31, even 21 to, you know, I don't know, 30, 21 to, like, Green Bay is at 25. You know, I mean, because, like, the guys you mentioned, Chris, you know, at 21, most of those D linemen you mentioned are going to be available. By 31, most of those guys are probably going to be gone. I mean, and wouldn't you prioritize D linemen over O linemen in terms of the first round? Because there's more O linemen. There's probably better quality on the O line available in the second round than there will be on the D line.
Exactly. Yes. I agree with what you said. The trade down, yeah, the defensive line is probably off the table if you trade down to 31. You know, and yeah, any of those guys that I mentioned, you know, Latu, I didn't mention Byron Murphy from Texas or Johnny Newton from Illinois as inside guys also, who could be available at number 21. By 31, yeah, those guys are probably gone, but you still pick up a second round pick and you can get another quality player. But you're right, it's a risky move at a trade down, but you're not in love with anybody at 21, and to me that's the better rationale for the trade down. That's how I would justify it.
And Mark, like, if I'm the Dolphins, Green Bay is 25, they have two twos and two threes, okay? Dolphins don't have a third round pick. I would say to Green Bay, you want to move up four spots? Give me either 88 or 91. Give me one of them. I'll move down four for a third-round pick I don't have. 31 scares the hell out of me, I got to be honest. Well, it does, because, Chris, I mean, you're right. All the guys you mentioned, like, first off, if you're the Dolphins, let's just say Verse and Latu are gone by 21. Now you're scared. You're like, oh, my goodness, the edges are going.
And Chop Robinson, raw. I mean, I don't know. Chris, what are you hearing about Chop Robinson if the Dolphins are interested? Because we've been talking about him a lot as a, you know, big workout guy, but not a lot of actual tape on Chop.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. Chop Robinson, Darius Robinson, yeah. You know, the edge guys would be, they would be dwindling. You know, it's going to be an interesting thing. I'll say this. When you talk about edge rusher or an offensive tackle in the first two rounds, I agree. I favor edge rusher because it's a more impactful position also, right? That, you know, offensive tackle, yes, but you're really looking at left tackle for a left-handed quarterback. So, you know, the right tackle is his blind side. That's the more important one. Now, there's going to be some legit edge rushers coming at him, so from both sides, so you can't ignore it. but I would prioritize edge rusher in the first round. If you ask me what should the Dolphins take in the first round at number 21, I say edge rusher, although offensive tackle wouldn't necessarily be the wrong answer.
Chris, we had a guest yesterday talking Jags, and one of our questions was, the Jags right now on paper, the same, better, or worse than they were when the season ended? If I asked you that same question about the Dolphins, the same, better, or worse, what's your answer?
Worse. They had a lot of talent walk out that door, right? Christian Wilkins, defensive tackle, Rob Hunt, guard. Both of them overpaid, but the Dolphins need that talent. Xavien Howard at cornerback. Yes, he was aging, but he's better than his replacement, Kendall Fuller, that they signed from Washington as a free agent. Even a guy like Andrew Van Ginkle at edge rusher, you need him now because Phillipson and Chubb are injured. A guy like Brandon Jones, who is depth at safety. And look, all these guys that I named, they're draftees, aren't they? They're guys that the Dolphins drafted, and they let them all walk out the door, quality players. So you are a lesser talented team this year. However, that doesn't mean you can't be a better team, and I always get back to this. Mike McDaniel, they've got to use their talent different. And we hear a beginning of that with Anthony Weaver, the new defensive coordinator who came over from Baltimore. He said that he wants to use Jalen Ramsey as a chess piece, move him all over the field, have him shadow receivers. Vic Fangio was reluctant to that. So already you're using your talent better. Offensively, I've been saying I would like to see him develop a number three receiver, whether it's a slot receiver, tight end, running back, whatever, develop that number three receiver. Get a power runner so you have better options in short yardage. So you could be a better team with lesser talent. You just have to deploy your talent differently. So they're worse, but they could be better.
10 seconds. If the Dolphins could pick one guy who realistically is available at 21, who would it be?
I would say Jared Verse. Latu will probably be gone, so I'd say Jared Verse, the edge rusher from Florida State.
He's Chris Perkins, tremendous columnist, Sun Sentinel. His head is bursting at the seams with too much information. So follow him on X. He's got to get it off his chest, off his brain. Follow him at Chris Perk, P-E-R-K. Chris, don't explode. We'll talk to you soon about how they did.
All right, guys. We'll do it again. Thanks.
Chris Perkins. Always gracious with his time with us here on the
Absolutely. Road. And has good information. And, you look at the Dolphins and our poll question, six quarterbacks going early helps Miami because it keeps edge rushers on the board. Miller and Moulton.
Welcome back to Miller and Moulton, only on the Florida Sports Network.
Past the hour. Roy Cummings, in a little more than 15 minutes' time, we'll talk Tampa Bay. The Bucs, probably going to be boring, right? Just going to hang out. Where are they, 26? Just hang out, wait until it's their turn, blah, blah, blah. But, they need dudes. Even though they've won the division, 3 years in a row? They need dudes. They also have 2 third-round picks to the Bucs. They got a 1, a 2, and 2 threes. They're both late, but they got a 1, a 2, and 2 threes.
So what corner are the Bucs going to take?
Well, if you're Detroit, there is a good possibility that the defensive guy that you want, Tampa Bay goes, no, sorry, we're 3 picks ahead of you. We're going to take. See, you beat us in the playoff game, so that's why we're taking this guy. And that's why what Chris Perkins was just talking about, Mark, once you get past Pittsburgh at 20, now I think the defensive players start going. I think it is largely offense, 1 through 20. Largely offense. 2 corners tops, at most 3 defensive linemen. I think at most, Mark, 5 of the first 20 will be defense. But beginning at 21, game on. Now, Philly might move from 22, move up and take, you know, I think they'll move up and take a corner. The number one corner. I think Jacksonville's sweating at 17. If the number one corner is the kid from Toledo, Quinyon Mitchell, Jacksonville's sweating, will Terrion Arnold fall to them at 17?
And there are, I've seen those two flipped. I've seen Arnold ranked higher than Mitchell.
Right.
But those are the two, for sure, first-round corners.
And Denver with no second-round pick, I think Denver is also, you know, do they have to take Bo Nix at 12? I mean, who's going to take Bo Nix if it's not Denver? I mean, this is, are you really, can you trade down to 20, 21, 22? If you're Denver, you sure you're going to lose Bo Nix? I mean, it's a gamble. There's no doubt. But you don't have a second-round pick. You know, Philly's got two of them. Don't you say to the Eagles, you want to move up to 12 from 22? Done. Give me your one of your two second-round picks. You can move up 10 spots. Take whoever you want on defense. You move down to 22, you take Bo Nix, you pick up a second-round pick.
Boy, that's a long way to move for just a second-round pick.
I mean, maybe you can get more. I mean, Philly's got three fives.
You know, I would demand one of those.
Fine. Give me a two and two fives.
All I know is I want you on the other line when I'm trading if I can get away with some of these picks.
Well, a second round pick's a lot of real estate. From the whole points thing, I'll bet you a second round pick to move 10 spots is actually pretty close points wise. We might have to swap, you know, trade swap some picks and what have you. You know, I'll give you my fourth. You got to give me, like, Denver's got three fives. Philly may have to give them their fourth round pick and take one of Denver's fives back, you know, from a points thing, just so it all adds up. And I know it's Howie Roseman on the phone, so you're probably a little scared to answer it. I get it. But
I do think you have a point that if Bo Nix isn't taken by Denver at 12, where is Bo Nix taken?
Where is he going?
And I think that's why the Vegas line has him at 32.5, where he's going to be picked.
Right. Well, and quite frankly, if Penix doesn't go in the top 15, how far down does he go?
He goes 29 to the Raiders.
Do you think he falls into the mid to late 20s and somebody's trading back in to grab Nix and Penix? But you and I both think they're going first round. That's our poll question, by the way. How many quarterbacks go in the first round? 4, 5, or 6? And Miller and Moulton both think the answer will be 6.
Right now, so do you. 41% of the vote says 6 will be taken in the first round. 31% of the vote says that 5 will be taken in the first round, and the rest goes with 4. You can go to that Mark Miller, the David Moulton, or Miller_Moulton on X to vote.
I mean, there's a part of me that hopes that both Nix and Penix don't go in the top 13. You know, Nix has been linked to Denver at 12. Penix has been linked to Vegas at 13. I would love to see them fall past Seattle at 16 because now the phones, I think, start really churning. Because then, Mark, also what will have happened? I mean, if you want a really good defensive player, you know, you want Latu, say, or Verse, like Miami would want, to fall to 21. Well, if Denver and or Vegas is not taking quarterbacks at 12 or 13, you're like, oh, blank. Really? Because then they're doing what? Taking a corner, an offensive lineman, or a defensive lineman. And you're like, well, I wanted one of those. And the quarterback falling to you. Now, it might get you a very attractive trade offer. Once you get past Pittsburgh, it could, you know, Miami's phone could ring off the hook if Nix and Penix are both still available.
I agree with that.
And now if you're the Dolphins, you're like, oh, blank. I didn't necessarily want to trade out, but these are some really good offers. And not only that, I can probably get a first round pick next year. Huh. I might have to really consider this. So There's a part of me that hopes the quarterbacks fall. And do you think if you're Minnesota, you got the guts? You got the guts not to give up your two ones and something else to the Chargers at five? Do you have the guts?
No.
Okay.
Because the Giants are going to take McCarthy if he's there at six.
You're convinced of that.
It would be the very giant thing to do, and you know I'm right over there.
Well, I do believe that the GM and the coach are done with their current quarterback, who contractually they have to keep for this year. I do. I believe they would love to move on. My guess is they have a very short list of guys in this draft that they want to move on with, because their careers then get tied to them. And get tied to them in 2 years or less.
Drafting a quarterback can certainly save your job, but it can lose it a lot more quickly if you're wrong.
So I'm just curious, if you're Minnesota, how much poker are you playing tonight? Let's just say we're right. New England and Arizona don't budge. Elliot Wolf's like, listen, my boss wants a quarterback. I'm sorry. I got to turn all the deals down. I'm taking Drake May. Okay. And Arizona's like, yeah, Marvin Harrison, neighbors. Absolutely. There's no way. Sorry. Mm-mm, taking him. Okay. Great. So now the Chargers are saying to Minnesota, what's your best offer? And Minnesota goes, I'll give you 11 and 23, but I'm not giving you anything else. Chargers go, okay, we'll get back to you. You going to sit and wait by the phone if you're Minnesota? Or are you eventually going to pick it up with 5 minutes on the clock?
I wouldn't have the patience to sit there if I'm Minnesota. I wouldn't. I've got to get my quarterback. I've screwed this up six ways from sideways, and now I've got to make sure that I get this done. And I can't just sit there and hope.
So you're okay with J.J. McCarthy then? Remember, you're the Vikings. That's who's available. Or Penix or Nix. But because that's the other thing, Mark. Like, you're into Penix.
Yeah,
I like Penix. You could sit to 11 and most likely get Penix.
That's what I would do. I don't think Minnesota's in that. I don't think they feel they're their position. I think they want McCarthy. Roy Cummings to talk the Bucks next on Miller and Moulton.
You're listening to Miller and Moulton, only on the Florida Sports Network.
We know he's in a good mood because his Cubs are off to a 15-9 start. So, you know, anything is possible with Roy Cummings after that. R. Cummings, FHCN on X. We're talking Tampa Bay Bucks. Hope you've been well. Thanks for your time, Roy. How are you?
I am good. Thanks for having me, guys. Yes, Cubs are well as well. That's good to hear. Anytime you can take two from the Astros, don't care where you are, don't care how you do it, you're doing good.
26th and two-thirds. So in the first 2 days of the draft, they got four picks. And if you're Tampa Bay, you know, their general manager has been very aggressive in the past. Okay, moving up, moving down. Your thoughts as to the Bucks and their approach 11 and a half hours before the draft?
Well, they can do an awful lot of different things. I think they're one of the more intriguing teams in the draft because of Jason Light's aggressiveness. As you've said, he can move up to get somebody. He can move down to add more picks, add a pick in the second round, perhaps somehow. He could do a lot of different things. He could sit tight and let this draft come to him, which I think the way this one's working out, with all the quarterbacks, you know, again, this is going to be a top-heavy draft in terms of quarterback play. Quarterbacks are going to be taking, what, six probably in the first 15 picks or so, first 20 picks at least. That pushes a lot of good talent that the Bucks need and can use down into their range. You know, guys like Chop Robinson, Graham Barton, this is what allows this draft to work so well for the Buccaneers, because a lot of the talent that might be taken in the, you know, 17th pick or 18th pick could suddenly fall to them at 26 now. And so I think they'll have a bit of a, you know, of a choice, really. Is it Jared Verse? Is it Chop Robinson? Is it Graham Barton? Is it Tyler Guyton? What do they want to do? Where do they want to fill the hole the most I think they can do it easily. Do they want to go defensive back? There's a lot of things they can do right where they are and a lot of moves they can make to move up to get the player they want. So I think they're in pretty good shape considering that they're picking 26th overall.
Well, and I love where you're at with Barton because I think that addresses a lot of – they have a need. They have a need at center. He's versatile that he can play other positions on the line. But I look at Tampa as a spot also as – I could see them trading out of it, Roy, because if one of those quarterbacks slides, there's going to be an opportunity for Tampa to maybe accumulate more picks because they do have a few needs going into this draft, don't they?
They do. But as you said, as you're alluding to at least, I think the offensive line is the greatest need. I really do. I think that is where they need help the most. And to me, a guy like Barton, who's probably the best center in the draft, and do you want to trade up to get a center? Most teams wouldn't do that, but I think Jason Light would. Look, he traded up to get a kicker once. Didn't work out. But if you get Graham Barton and he just turns out to be exactly what you want him to be, you're talking 12 years or more anchoring your offensive line, and it could be at center, could be at guard. So, he's very versatile, allows you to do a couple of different things. I like him a lot. He's the one player I would trade up to get. I don't know that I would trade up to get Chop Robinson. Don't know that I'd trade up to get Kool-Aid McKinstry or any of the defensive backs. I think there's enough of those in that spot, in that second third of the first round, third of the first round, that they can sit tight and get one of those guys or even trade down and get one of those guys. But I think if it's either Chop Robinson or Jared Verse that they want or Graham Barton, I think they probably might have to trade up to get him. But again, it all depends on how the draft falls.
Well, now we're talking because we just talked to Chris Perkins, who covers the Dolphins, and the Dolphins are at 21. The Dolphins don't have a third round pick or a fourth round pick. Tampa Bay's got 2/3. Now they also don't have a fourth, but like if Jared Verse is on the board at 21, if Latu is on the board at 21, I mean, could you imagine back-to-back drafts? They get Kancey and then one of those two defensive linemen. Troy, don't you get if the Dolphins say, "Hey, give me your second, third-round pick," okay, and you can move up five spots and you could take either Verse or Latu. I make that deal, Roy.
I do too. Although I don't know that I make it for Verse. And here's the thing: I don't know that Verse fits the Buccaneers' scheme. I may be wrong, the way they evaluate it. The way I look at him, Verse would have been a great pick when Monty Kiffin's running the Tampa 2. To me, he's more of a Derek Brooks type, a guy who's got more speed and athleticism than size. To me, Chop Robinson is the guy, or Barton, as we talked about, that you move up to get the guy you want. But again, they may see it differently, but still, no, I totally agree with you that may be the deal to be made, is that you talk to Miami and say, all right, we'll give you one of our thirds for five spots. And, I think it could work out very well for him. That way, you don't let it come to you. You go and be aggressive. And I thought we all know that's what Jason Light likes to do.
I've seen a few mocks where they go corner in the first round and taking Nate Wiggins and Clemson. I've seen associated with Tampa. I do like the fact that there's a guy that's going to be a day two pick named TJ Tampa that to me has to be a draft pick of the Tampa Bay Bucks. It just makes too much sense. But is corner deep enough that they can wait till Friday?
I think it is. I think they're okay at the position. And I think there's enough depth in the draft at that position that they can wait there as well. Look, we all know the edge rushers are the premium guys. And this year, for whatever reason, typically offensive linemen, fall in the first, the latter half of the first round. So again, but I still think their greatest need is offensive line. The luxury pick to me is a defensive back. And the pick that probably helps you the most immediately is probably the defensive end. So that's kind of how I look at it. And again, that's why the Bucs have so many options that they can kind of look at. To me, need one is offensive line. A guy like Barton is a perfect fit. Need two is a defensive end or edge rusher like a Chop Robinson, Jared Verse. And then need three is the cornerback or the defensive back that you can move around a little bit. So that's how I look at it. And again, if they see it the same way, now it's a matter of who can you find a dance partner to make a trade so you can get the guy that you want if he's there.
What if Powers Johnson is getting dangerously close to Miami at 21? You know, would you trade up? You and I'm with you. Grant Barton would be a perfect plug and play guy. I think early to mid second round, that Zach Frazier, center guard from West Virginia, would be a good plug and play guy if they moved down, and that's who somebody maybe they settle on. But you know, Powers Johnson, probably the second best interior offensive lineman in the draft.
Right.
And like we're talking about, Roy, if you start doing the math with the quarterbacks and then you do the math with the wide receivers, and now all of a sudden you look around, you got players available around 19, 20, 21, 22 that a lot of drafts would go 12 to 15.
Yes, exactly. Which is why you just love being where the Buccaneers are, because it does somewhat. Now here, okay, to answer your question, yes, to me, that's another guy that I think you would trade up to get, Powers Johnson. And here's why, or part of the reason why. The last two drafts, the Buccaneers have kind of drafted projects, okay? Kancey not as much, but 2 years ago, they kind of drafted guys who needed a little bit of development. I think this time around, if you can do it, and it's possible because of the way the draft is falling, get that plug and play guy. And if it, you know, and they've also addressed defensive line first, you know, the last couple of picks, these last couple of drafts. So I like the idea of going after the offensive lineman. If it's not Barton, I don't have a problem with Powers Johnson. Again, they love versatility and both have it. And I think that's important. There's definitely a hole at guard. If they can fill that spot, fine. If they get a tackle, even better.
Well, and the center's not good enough. I mean, they have a hole at guard, but they're inadequate at center, though, right? I mean, let's be honest. He needs to be a swing offensive lineman, not a starter.
Probably. But they did draft Hainsey high. They had an intent of making him the future center. It's happened sooner than they wanted it to. Maybe with a year under his belt and a little bit of more coaching, they feel better about it, but
he just doesn't seem, he just doesn't seem to me, Roy, strong enough, if you know what I mean. He gets pushed. Teams against the Bucs get pushed up the middle. You know, he's an undersized center, or at least he plays like an undersized center to me.
Well, look, guys, what do we talk about most of last year? The inability of the offensive line to really open up enough holes and get enough push for the running game to work. It took 7 weeks or more for it to happen. And finally, when it did, you know, we saw the best of the Buccaneers offense. So again, that's why I see offensive line as the number one need. And if you believe that 3 years later, 4 years later, that Robert Hainsey is, as you said, a swing interior lineman, a backup, a fill-in, okay, fine. Go get better. That's what, you know, the draft is all about. Go fill the holes that you have. And the opportunity is there. They're not in the perfect spot for it necessarily. But again, the way the draft could fall, and if there's a trade partner, they could make it happen. And I think they will. Again, that's the spot that I definitely trade up for, is one of those offensive linemen, whichever one they think is best. And it may not be Barton. It may not be Powers Johnson. It may be somebody else. It depends on how they evaluate them. But I know that they love versatility, and both of those guys have it. I think they'd be great picks wherever the Buccaneers decide to make that selection.
So if they stand pat and get a lineman, how would you want to see Friday go for the Bucs? And they get their lineman at one. What do they do on Friday, Roy?
I really think, you know, again, that's where I think the depth is there to get a cornerback. And if you can find an edge rusher that's, you know, just again, kind of a developmental guy, go ahead, because they do a pretty good job at developing them. There's no doubt about that. So I don't have a problem there. And you know what? If you can steal a wide receiver, you got to start looking ahead to the days when Mike Evans isn't there. So maybe not a bad place to get a wide receiver. And also I'd be looking at running back. I think there's more moves. I think they want to get back into the second round to address some of those needs. I wouldn't be surprised if this team drafts a running back. We'll see how that goes, see if the draft falls to them. But I think that's a spot. But more than anything, second day, I think you got to come away with a defensive back.
How much longer do you think Vita Vea is still a dude, if you know what I mean? Because I'm curious, like, because I think the interior defensive linemen are going to be picked on Friday. And I'm thinking, like, Chris Jenkins of Michigan. You know, if you're the Bucs, I don't know if he falls to you late in the third round, but I think he, you know, that's a big guy who's on the board in the mid-50s there in the second round. I'm just curious, how much longer do you think Vita Vea is still a stud?
Well, I think you can get a good 2, 3, 4 years out of
him
if you limit his snaps to the snaps where he's going to excel. You don't want him out there 60 snaps a game. You want him out there for 40 snaps a game. Finding the guy who can fill in and do that, you know, Cansey helps because now people got to look at him, and that helps Vita Vea. So I still think he's got a good three. Look, he's a real diligent kid about trying to stay healthy. And, you know, he's had a couple of bad breaks, but everybody does. But I think, you know, stuff-wise, everything else, you know, absent some horrible, you know, injury of some kind, I think he's got a good 3, 4 years left. I think he's solid. I don't think that's an area. You know, I've looked at the situation. There's a couple of defensive tackles that could fall to him at 26, but I don't know that that's a need. I think it's more on the outside, on the edge. You know, Tryon Chienka, still not the guy you want. Again, he could end up not being on this team this year if they can get the edge rusher they want. If they get Chop Robinson or Jared Verse, it could happen.
Roy, we got a great text from a listener. Saying Roy's coming on. The last time you asked him about a book, he gave us Undaunted Courage. Said it was a great read. What are you reading right now, Roy?
I am reading the Book of Joe, the Joe Madden book about his time as a manager throughout the major leagues and a hitting coach throughout the minor leagues and everything else. It's a great book. It's a great read. It's his philosophy on baseball and life, and it's a fun read, guys. The Book of Joe by Joe Madden and Tom Verducci.
You think your Cubs have staying power?
I do, because I like what they're doing without some of their best players. Seiya Suzuki's hurt. Obviously, now they've got Cody Bellinger's hurt a little bit. The pitching staff's a little nicked up. I like what they're doing. I like the way they put the team together. Bullpen's a little bit concerning. If they can get that straightened out, I think they're going to be okay. I think they need a closer for sure. I don't know if Edward Azalea's the guy. I'm not sure they know it, but feel good about him right now.
Roy Cummings, covering the Bucks. Follow him on X, R. Cummings, FHCN, R. Cummings, FHCN. Enjoy the draft tonight in around Lightning in the playoffs. The Cubs playing. Oh, you're going to be a mess tonight.
Yeah, I don't know what to do. I'll have the clicker going, that's for sure.
Thanks, Roy.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Enjoyed it, as always.
Roy Cummings, kind enough to join us again, talking Bucks. Sounds like another team a lot like the Dolphins. They have needs at the line of scrimmage. One's picking 21, one's picking 26. There's more good offensive linemen than there are defensive linemen. So if you're Miami and Tampa, do you then lean defensive linemen early, offensive linemen tomorrow?
I couldn't get away from the Duke guy if I'm Tampa. Too much versatility for them. If he's there, I'm taking him.
Look at you two in love with Graham Barton. Little man crush going on between you and Roy on Graham Barton at Duke.
It's the one time a year we get excited about offensive linemen, David. It really is. The rest of the time, all we do is bitch about offensive linemen. But today, we're excited about the big fellas in the middle. Miller and Moulton, the Diamond District Bonus Hour is next.